Last lesson left us with a plan, not a machine. We agreed that handwritten rules collapse, that the way forward is to show a system labeled examples and let it learn the patterns. Good. Now we owe a concrete answer to the obvious next question. What exactly does that learned system look like? What turns 150,000 brightness numbers into a label? This lesson is the simplest, honest answer, and it is the foundation everything else in the track is built on. It is called a linear classifier, and the entire thing fits in one equation. Once you can see what that equation is doing, the rest of computer vision is mostly the story of buying more capacity on top of this same idea. One score per class. Start with the shape of the job. We hand the classifier an image and ask for a label out of a fixed list of categories. Say the list is the 10 classes of the classic CIFAR 10 dataset: airplane, car, bird, cat, deer, dog, frog, horse, ship, truck. The classifier's answer will not be a word. It will be 10 numbers, one per class, called scores. We read off the highest one and call that the prediction. That gives us our target. Build a function that turns the pixel numbers into 10 scores. The linear classifier picks the most direct way imaginable. Flatten the image into a single tall column of numbers, multiply it by a learned matrix, and add a learned offset. That is the whole computation. The score function, S equal mu WX plus B. Concretely, here is the equation written exactly as you will see it in any computer vision text. Let us name every symbol, then unpack it. X is the image as a column vector. For a CIFAR 10 image, 32 wide, 32 tall, 3 color channels, that is 32 times 32 times 3 equals 372 numbers, stacked into one tall column. Nothing is gained from the flattening. We still hold the same pixel values, just listed end to end. W is the weight matrix. For CIFAR 10's 10 classes, it is 10 rows by 372 columns, holding 30,720 learned numbers in total. One row of W per class. B is the bias vector, 10 numbers, one per class. A small per-class offset added at the end. S is the output, the 10 scores, one per class. The arithmetic is elementary. To compute the score for one class, take that class's row of W, 3072 numbers, multiply it point-wise by the image's 3072 pixels, sum the products, and add that class's bias. Do that for all 10 rows, and you have all 10 scores. The largest one is the predicted class. That is the entire classifier. Diagram placeholder. A CIFAR-style image on the left. An arrow labeled flatten to a tall column of 372 numbers, AUX. Then XW, 10x372, plus B, 10. Producing a column of 10 scores on the right, with the largest one highlighted and read off as the predicted class slash a. Working one prediction by hand. The CIFAR 10 numbers are too big to compute on paper, so let us shrink the problem until the whole thing fits in one example. Suppose our image is just 2x2 grayscale, so D equals 4 pixels, and we have 3 classes, K equals 3. Say the image, flattened, is 0.9, 0.1, 0.8, 0.2. The learned weights and biases are: compute one score at a time. For class A, the top row of W. For class B, for class C. The three scores are 1.5, 0.7, and 0.8. The highest is class A at 1.5, so this image is predicted as class A. The whole classifier is multiply and add K times, with the maximum read-off at the end. Nothing about CIFAR 10 is different in spirit. You would just be doing this with 3,072 multiplications per class instead of 4. What each row of W actually is. Look at the score for class A again. Pixels where the weight is positive boost the score when they are bright. Pixels where the weight is negative reduce it when they are bright. Pixels where the weight is near zero do not matter. So a row of W is, in effect, a stencil saying, for this class, here are the brightness patterns we like and the ones we do not. It is a learned template for the class. That phrasing is exact. If you take a row of Sci-Far 10's W, reshape it back into a 32 by 32 by 3 image, you can literally look at it. People do this, and the pictures are striking. The ship template looks like a fuzzy blue and gray ship sitting on blue water. The frog template is a faint green smear. The car template carries a smudge of red where car bodies often sit in the training images. Read in this light, the score function is template matching, and the only thing that distinguishes it from older, hand-coded template matching is that the templates are learned from data instead of drawn by an engineer. The whole shift we talked about last lesson, let the system find the patterns, shows up here as W being learned rather than written. The bias B is the only extra piece. It is one number per class added to that class's score at the end, regardless of the input. You can read it as a per-class default lean. This class is a bit more common in the training data, so start a touch higher, or this class is rare, start lower, before any pixels are even consulted. Two ways to see the same equation. The template view is one, the other is geometric, and the two are saying the same thing in different languages. Picture the space of all possible Sci-Far 10 images, where every image is one point in a 3D072-dimensional space, one axis per pixel. For each class, the equation that class's row of W dotted with X plus that class's bias equals zero defines a flat boundary, a hyperplane, slicing that huge space in two. Images on one side score positively for the class, images on the other side score negatively. The bias is what lets that boundary sit somewhere other than dead through the origin. Changing the bias slides the hyperplane back and forth without changing its tilt. Asking, what does the classifier predict for this image, is then geometrically the same as asking, which side of each of the 10 hyperplanes does this image fall on? The class whose hyperplane the image is most decisively on the positive side of wins. We will not need the geometric view to make later lessons work, but it is worth carrying as an alternate picture, because some explanations land harder from one side than the other. And reading later material in any computer vision text, it will come up. What linear can and cannot do. A linear classifier is the simplest learner that works, and it does work. Sort of. On Sci-Far 10, a careful linear classifier reaches about 40% accuracy, clearly better than the 10% you would get by guessing, far short of what humans or modern networks achieve. There is a structural reason for that gap, and naming it sets up the rest of the track. A linear classifier has exactly one template per class and exactly one flat boundary per class. That is enough when a class really does cluster around a single visual prototype. It is not enough when a class spans several distinct looks at once. Take the horse class in Sci-Far 10. Some training horses face left, some face right. A linear classifier cannot have a left-facing horse template and a right-facing horse template. It can only have one. So what it learns is a single template that is a kind of blurred compromise. And you can actually see, in published visualizations of trained Sci-Far 10 templates, a faint ghostly horse with what looks like two heads, one facing each way. The classifier merged the two modes because it had no room to keep them apart. The same thing bites the car class. Red cars, blue cars, white cars all live under one label with no shared color signature, and one linear template cannot represent them all without becoming a washed-out average that matches none well. The whole next stretch of this track, loss functions, optimization, then neural networks, is fundamentally about giving the classifier enough capacity to hold multiple templates per class. Meaning then, templates of templates, until the multimodal real world stops collapsing into ghost averages. A small implementation note, the bias trick. you will sometimes see the score function written without the plus b at the end. That is not a different equation. It is a notational shortcut called the bias trick. Add one extra dimension to the image vector that is always 1, and append one extra column to w to hold the biases. Now wx plus b and plain wx, with the extended w and x, compute the exact same numbers. For CIFAR 10, that turns the 10 by 372 w into 10 by 3073, and the input from 372 numbers to 3073. Same arithmetic, less bookkeeping. It is worth recognizing on site, otherwise you will run into code that drops the bias and think it is a different model. Why this matters when you use AI? The linear classifier is the smallest concrete thing computer vision does, and you can see its shape in everything bigger. When a modern vision model classifies an image, the final layer is typically still a linear classifier of the form scores equal WX plus B. What changed is the X it sees. In the model from this lesson, X is the raw pixels and the classifier is doing all the work, badly. In a convolutional network, phase two of this track, X is a much richer set of learned features that the deeper layers extracted from the pixels first, and the linear classifier on top suddenly has an easy job. So this equation never goes away. It is the unchanging tip of every modern vision model. The lessons ahead add the body underneath. It also explains why classifier-based vision systems behave the way they do. They do not understand an image. They compare it to a fixed set of learned templates and read off a winner. When they confidently mislabel a doctored image or an out-of-distribution photo, what you are seeing is the templates matching something they should not have matched, because there is no concept of, wait, this looks unlike anything I have seen baked into the equation. That blind template match behavior, present even in the simplest version of the classifier, persists in much larger forms all the way up the stack. Common pitfalls: thinking the templates are pictures of class members. They are learned compromises that maximize the score on the training set, not photographs. Visualized, they often look smeared, off color, or weirdly blended, the two-headed horse. That is exactly what learning a single template for a multimodal class looks like. Confusing rows and columns of W. Each row of W belongs to one class and holds that class's weight for every pixel. Each column of W belongs to one pixel and holds every class's weight for that one pixel. The classifier scores by row. Treating scores as probabilities. The scores from WX plus B are unbounded real numbers. They can be negative, large, small, anything. Turning them into probabilities is a separate operation, the softmax function, which a later lesson covers. Until then, the only thing the scores are good for is ranking. Thinking linear is enough because it works at all. Yes, a linear classifier learns something. No, it is not enough. Roughly 40% on CIFAR 10 means it is wrong 6 times out of 10. The structural reason, one template per class, is what motivates everything that follows. What you should remember: a linear classifier turns an image into one score per class via scores equal W times X plus B, then picks the highest score. For CIFAR 10, X is 3072 numbers, W is 10 by 3072, B is 10 numbers, S is 10 scores. Each row of W is a learned template for one class. The score is a dot product measuring how well the image matches that template. The bias is a per-class default offset. Geometrically, each class has one flat boundary, a hyperplane, in pixel space. Prediction asks which side of each boundary the image is on. The bias lets the boundary translate, not just rotate. One template, one boundary per class is the limit. Multimodal classes get merged into ghostly averages, the famous two-headed horse. Loss, optimization, and neural networks, the rest of the track, are about getting past that limit. The whole of the linear classifier is one equation. but the equation does real work. It is the first concrete machine that turns pixel numbers into a prediction, and it is the last layer of nearly every modern vision model you have ever met. Next, we have a classifier with knobs, W and B, but no idea how to set them. The next lesson defines exactly what the predictions match the labels means as a single number to minimize the loss and shows the simple loop, optimization, that nudges the knobs to make it smaller. That is how learning actually happens.